Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And we are here to talk about the second installment of Hunt the Truth with our resident game night specialist, Godzilla T. So we're going to be talking about episode 2, some other Hunt the Truth stuff, and a couple other news updates. There's not really much going on again this week either, but we do have some interesting stuff out of the second episode of Hunt the Truth. So I think we're just going to go ahead and dive straight into things. First off, we have a couple other things, and I think we touched on this already last week with the Master Propaganda. So if you hadn't listened to our last podcast, because that came up after the first episode, go ahead and check that out. And then there was another thing that came out before episode 2 was released, and that was a couple of entries from Katrina's diary. Now, Katrina was the person that Ellie Bloom, who Benjamin Giroux interviewed in the last episode, mentioned was one of John's good friends. And there's a couple of entries in here where, there's one before John was, before he died at the age of 6, and then there was one after he died at the age of 6. So we're looking at two pieces of evidence that we know from the books that's pointing to John's death. And the really cool thing is that the first one before he died kind of points to the Starry Night trailer.
Yeah, it does. But very heavily, actually.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, they talk about how him, John and her were always went out in the fields and looked at the stars in the middle of the night or whatever, which was really cool. Like, I like the fact that they're going back to the old things that we remember. Like, they're kind of refreshing our minds with this.
I think it's a good way to connect.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, the Starry Night trailer was always kind of out there. I mean, it didn't really tie into anything that we knew about Halo at the time. And now they're bringing that into the, you know, truly into the Halo universe, other than it just being a Halo 3 teaser. So I think it's kind of cool that they're doing that. Because, you know, everybody always wondered if that was John in the, you know, in the very beginning of it. And I don't think we ever got the answer until now.
I think people had their suspicions knowing it was John, because the transition from those kids to the Master Chief, it would kind of lead towards that. But,
well, yeah, they had their suspicion, but you know, everybody had their suspicions that it was, but, you know, there was no confirmation of it. Let's put it that way.
Correct.
You know, it was never You know, no one ever came out and said, "Yeah, this was John." You know, it was never tied into any of the other lore stuff. So this is cool that they're doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and the other thing that it really connects with is people that have not really read into the books too much, but they can also expand the story from what we've seen for the promotion of the games and some of the other things that people that have just maybe only played the games are familiar with. So This is, I wonder how much else we're going to see that they're going to reuse assets from, because, I mean, there's a couple other trailers that have been out there featuring Chief. So it's, I wonder if we're going to see something every week or every other week or so where we're pulling up something that we know from, like, Halo promo stuff and the whole Oni propaganda thing. And if it's going to really fit into this Hunt the Truth stuff, because that's what it seems like the direction that it's taking right now.
Well, yeah, that's what it looks like.
Well, it makes me wonder is if we're going to see any characters that Chief made a real impact on get brought in. You know, we have Lasky, which Chief made a huge impact on, like, early in his life when he was in the, what's the name of the place?
Corbulo.
And it just makes me wonder if we're going to see, I mean, they're making all these connections to the promotional stuff, but it really makes me wonder if we're going to see actual characters that we already know make a, like, an entry in here in some way.
So, I would think they're making a lot of connections, so it's very possible.
Yeah. I hope so.
What I was just thinking about, you remember the diorama series that they did for Halo 3?
Yes, that awesome piece of work. Oh, yeah. Oh,
I'd love to see it again, but anyway. And you know how they did they were doing the interviews with the soldiers.
I know.
In the, you know, later on they did interviews with people that supposedly lived that battle.
Yeah.
What if they worked that in there and started showing?
I would be surprised if they didn't.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that really makes me wonder, like, you got to remember is that when they were that whole diorama thing, they were younger. They were like in their 20s, 30s or whatever. But when they were talking to him, interviewing him, especially the older gentleman that was picking up the spiker, and he said it really he doesn't like the fact that he's holding an enemy weapon that's killed so many of his friends. They were older. Like, they were going in their 60s, 70s at some case, possibly. So I wonder how far in the future that was that they were interviewing them.
Well, that was decades after the war. But what I was, you know, kind of pointing at is, how is Oni going to twist it?
Okay.
You know, they're showing, you know, like in the latest episode, they have the admiral that's, you know, spinning this whole tale about how John survived the insurrection encampment and, you know, basically vowed to become, you know, to join the military and all this stuff. And, you know, we know that that's not the truth.
Right.
So what are they going to do with, you know, the stories of these old soldiers, which, you know, they're old. So, you know, what different point of view of those battles are they going to show? Because it'd have to be a different point of view than those soldiers' actual view that they actually showed.
Or it could be something like, this is what you didn't see from those interviews, like stuff that got cut.
True. That's entirely possible as well.
Because you know how when you have a news report, there's always stuff on the cutting room floor that you don't want because it portrays a different light than the story that you're trying to push out. But the interesting thing about Ben Jarreau here and everything that's going on with all the Oni setups, and I think we touched on this with only having 5 weeks, is that you don't really have that much time to do a fully investigative story. And it seems like Oni has set up all these people in these places for Ben to interview to portray a certain kind of story, this hero story. And while there is a hero story to this, there's also the dark side of Halsey taking the kids, doing the training, doing the genetic modification and restructuring of human skeletons and whatnot. To us, that since we know the background, it's its own hero story there. But in the realm of the Halo universe, we're going to be looking at Ben going through this conflict of what he's perceiving from what Oni's feeding him, and then his investigative journalistic curiosity and, for lack of a better word, journalistic, there's a term, integrity, journalistic integrity, to go and actually find the truth behind John. So this is kind of maybe backfiring against Oni.
I think this is what this series is. Okay, you know, Oni's feeding him all this information, and being a reporter, a good reporter the way he is, he's finding his own leads, you know, with Katrina and
Ellie,
you know, he's going to turn up more leads that are going to point him away from the official Oni story that, you know, they've all got lined out for him.
Another thing that really makes me wonder is just like, we're getting all this stuff that is showing the chief is possibly this traitor that everybody's making him out to be on Oni's side. What is it that Ben's cutting out that we're not seeing anyway? You know, he said that there was stuff that he cut out because he didn't want to talk about it with someone that knew John. The I can't think of his name. But
the
anyway,
teacher?
Was it the teacher that he didn't want to talk about or he didn't want to continue the story with? I can't remember. But anyway, there's going to be stuff cut from this too, because Oni's going to want to sit there and portray Chief as this person that everybody doesn't think he is. So it makes me wonder, what else is that showing the other side that Oni doesn't want people to see either?
I think the best way to look at this is, you know, this Hunt the Truth website, it's not the official story. It's the leak. He's leaking this information.
Yeah,
so it's not necessarily going through the, you know, through the official channels.
That's what I'm feeling as well. This is, seems to be, to use an analogy, an Edward Snowden of Oni, if that makes any sense. Is that a good comparison? I don't know.
Edward Snowden leaked a little bit more about one individual person. Like, that was...
But, I mean, the principle applies. It's
same principle, yes.
Yeah.
He's finding information that Oni does not want public.
Right.
And he's pushed... you know, we'll just say he's pushing it out on this website under Oni's nose, which is kind of hard to believe, but, you know, being, you know, almighty Oni. But even still, I think that's the way we kind of got to look at this website. It's like, okay, well, I'm telling you what Oni's given me, but this is what I found out.
Right.
So I think eventually he's going to find out the truth about John, or at least a part of it.
But that also begs the question, how will he react to that truth?
I think that's the point.
So we have to wait another 12 weeks for that to happen.
Well, we need to wait probably until at least the end of, you know, the end of the series to find out what he's going to do.
Right.
And to see, you know, to really see what is, you know, where do his loyalties lie? Is at heart, is he just, you know, a journalist that reports the truth no matter what it turns out to be? Or is he going to side with Oni and help cover up the truth? We've already seen images where he's already in the past helped cover up the truth for Oni.
With the photoshopped.
Yeah, with the photos.
Yeah.
You know, they told him to take this stuff out and they basically to glamorize Chief.
It just,
and
it,
so.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. It really doesn't. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. Why would they, Oni, tell him to make Chief look like this person that we all know what he is? We know we've witnessed everything that he's done between Halos 1 through 3 and, or 1 through 4. So it just makes me wonder. It's like, why all of a sudden is Oni wanting to put this other image on Chief all of a sudden? Like, what is it that they're going to want to hide that Chief may reveal, if that is the case? Like, I don't, it just, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, that shot that he showed where he doctored it, it was a propaganda shot. It was to show the human population that, you know, we're not getting our butt kicked by the Covenant. And that's what that shot was for. It's not for our benefit as, you know, people that play the game. This, you need to look at it from the point of being
inside the universe.
Yeah, inside the universe.
Right.
You know, being a resident of Earth in 25, you know, 30 or whatever it, whenever the shot was taken.
52,
sorry. I've been crunching a lot of Halo lore lately, so dates are getting kind of confused. But anyway, you know, so a lot of this you got to look at from the universe's perspective. They don't know everything we know. Oni does, but the rest of the population doesn't. And, you know, that's part of the twist of this whole storyline.
Okay.
So, you know, that's the way I look at it.
I think you're right, but that's one of the hard things that for us it's hard to kind of mingle with, because I mean, we've read the books, we know the truth of what's behind John. So in a way, you have to take this in two perspectives. One, what do we know of the universe itself to be true, and then what do people know inside the universe? It's really hard to kind of explain, though.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And you also have to take into account that, you know, this is promotional stuff. So they're trying to bring new people into the universe. So, you know, as somebody that doesn't know anything about Halo, can you imagine how interesting this would be?
Oh, I think this would be very interesting. But the thing for me, though, is that they need to cater to hardcore Halo lore fans as well at some point.
Well, I'm sure it's coming. You know, we're kind of in the backstory part. We're kind of in the build up to the new stuff. You know, it's like their cannon fodder, you know, posts on the website.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of that stuff, most of the Halo nuts out there, the real lore nuts, know all that stuff. But, and I am a lore nut, but I don't follow it as closely as a lot of these people do. But I'll go read through this and I'll learn stuff about the characters, the ships, the weapons that I didn't know, because it's not in any of the stuff that I've read.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I haven't read all the books. You know, I have people tell me that I need to read this book because of this reason, and then have to read this. And like, it's just interesting to see where people's interests lie with these different things. Because people were telling me to read Cryptum first because of the Halo 4 and going into 5 and all that stuff. And I go into it and it's like, I'm learning more about the older books that I want to read because I'm missing part of John's life, like something that everybody else knows and I don't. And I think the extra little details that we're getting with the cannon fodder from Grimm, like, it's awesome. Like, the fact that someone knows that much information just from books and lore and all these different things and sharing it and then you finding out about it and piecing all these things together is it's neat. Like, it's awesome to see.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to suck more people into the lore right this very moment. You know, they're kind of baiting the trap, so to say, try to get people into it and get them, you know, really into the story so that when they, you know, this whole thing starts to come together, you know, everybody's mouth is watering at what's going to happen next, you know? So I don't think they're going to leave, you know, the people like us that have really followed the lore and know quite a bit about it. I don't think they're going to leave us out of it. But there's going to be a build up to that point.
Well, there's a lot of people out there that they don't have a clue mm-hmm. as to what any of this stuff, some of the stuff they're like, some of the words and some of the stories that they're hearing for the first time from a different perspective. They're interested because they know they've played Chief through all these stories.
Mm-hmm.
And then people that don't know the backstory of Chief, why is it all of a sudden that this guy that saved the human race countless times, why is he
a traitor?
Yeah, traitor. Yeah, exactly. So it really makes me wonder what 343's, like the storyboarders or whoever's doing it, like what's going through their head? Like what twist are they going to be making?
That's gonna be a fly on the wall.
Are you being twisted as a fly on the wall?
Yeah. Either way, you know, just I'm with you, Bioman. I would love to see where it's going, but it almost is as much fun anticipating it. You know, what are they going to come up with next? What is the next twist they're going to throw at us?
But I'm waiting for that twist for, at least for me personally, where it gets to the stuff where, okay, I don't really know this. This is interesting. Yeah. I'm waiting for that moment. I think it's coming in maybe 3 or 4 more episodes, but right now it's just like you said, Godzilla is laying the foundation for people who may not have read the books and really setting up the story.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just it, too. It's like we have – I just completely just lost my thought.
Oops.
Brain fart. Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, laying down the foundation is something that a lot of people are wanting, especially we never really got an explanation for Halo 4. Like all the stuff that was thrown in people's faces, unless you – kind of new apart from you playing the games, like if you read books or stuff like that, people, you didn't have an idea. Like you just see, like there were so many things that were thrown in your face, and like I'm glad that they're like leading up with all this stuff before the game comes out to show where Locke is coming from, you know, from Oni. Like when everybody seen Locke hunting for Chief because he went AWOL, people wondering the reason, you know, what's the reason for him to do this? It's like something's happened to where something's happening with Chief to make him turn into this person everybody's portraying him as. And like I think that's another thing too that people are really stunned is just in the like when Benjamin is talking to these people, they're stunned too. Like the fact that Chief's friend, what was her name?
Katrina or Ellie?
Yeah, Katrina. Yeah. She didn't know that Chief was John. That was Ellie?
Yeah,
that was Ellie.
Okay. I just listened to it once real quick and I didn't hear, but no, it's like people are finding out all these things and then they were shocked that this person that the Master Chief, they know the Chief name for the reasons that he's, you know, he saved humanity. He saved countless lives from being lost during the Covenant War, all these different things, like things that he's done. And then you're going to switch it around and say that, well, he's being labeled a traitor for these reasons.
I'm definitely with you on that. I'm glad that they're laying all this foundation work and kind of putting out there to get everybody up to speed. Because, you know, I read all the books before Halo 4 came out. So I kind of had an idea what was going on when I started the game. So the game made sense. But I could see that if you did not read the books, you'd be like, who's the Didact? And why does he hate us? Because even in the game, they don't do a really great job of explaining why the Didact hates humanity so much.
Yeah.
So yeah, well, I'm glad that they're doing this. And I hope that it makes for a better experience for new players to the franchise and some of you know, and the people that are not as devoted to the lore, you know, the people that just play the games and make the whole experience more enjoyable for them on, you know, on the campaign side.
Right.
So we have to look at the second episode since we've been kind of on a tangent. So first impressions of everything we had in there. We had Benjamin ending off of the death record from the last episode, going through how he called Oni to get a hold of Mike Sullivan, or Sully, to clear up some of the issues with what he found. Sully basically came back and said, you know how a lot of the outer colonies, the records aren't kept very well? And then this was confirmed by Ellie as a follow-up later on. But one of the things that is still going on is later in the podcast, and then I know I'm kind of going out of order here, but since we're on the topic, later on, Ellie comes back with a follow-up to Ben, who says that Katrina, which is one of John's close friends, said he died at the age of 6, coinciding with the death record. And we know this from the books, and Receptor also, he knew a little bit better at the time, but the clone that was created by Halsey to replace John died within a couple weeks or a few weeks after John was taken. So the John that got replaced was the one that actually died at the age of 6, and that's why there's the death. So we have all these people basically coming up with this fabricated story, and the thing about lies and fabricated stories is it's hard to keep up when you're going through so many people. So this is a huge operation on Oni's part to really play this story out, and I'm wondering how deep this goes, or how much of a plant this information is.
Well, I'm sure they got it. They dug deep. I mean, they went back to a teacher that was on Eridanus II when John would have been going to school. So they've dug deep. How they missed Ellie and Katrina, I don't know.
Well, they said that. Well, didn't they say that it would have been hard to find, like, a glass planet, like, people that knew John because of the glass planet? Like, yeah. It split a lot of people up?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they did scatter them, but this is several years down the road. I mean, eventually, Benjamin found them, and he's a reporter. You have Oni, the only intelligence agency in the universe, well, as far as human side, and they didn't know about him?
So, didn't Ben say in the first episode that Ellie was a contact that he knew of that used to live on Eridanus 2?
I thought it was one of his contacts knew this person. Knew Ellie.
Okay. All right.
At least that's what I thought he said, but I could have misheard him too.
But that's him doing his journalism thing where he's getting other people to also fill in some of the gaps. And if Ben wanted to take the easy route out, he would have just interviewed the people that Oni wanted him to interview, and it would have been clean, dry, cut, done deal. But we have Ben, who's, I guess, amongst Oni and UNSC, a very well-known war photographer and journalist. And as a journalist, the exception being American news networks, is you're supposed to have some amount of integrity to journalism, trying to fill out the whole story. So that's where he goes and finds these people that Oni weren't maybe expecting him to go find. Because who's to say that some of these people that were plants are who they say they are?
Kind of like a cover-up.
Right.
Why I just said, yeah.
Like, what's to say that Dion Governor was a teacher there? Or maybe that's just his cover.
True.
Yeah. What would be interesting, though, is if Benjamin was looking to find the truth for Chief, and he finds out one huge flaw that people didn't see, and then he finds someone else that Oni doesn't want him to find necessarily, and to fill in that flaw and exactly what happened. So let's just say you find the reason why Chief's the traitor. That is why he's being labeled the traitor. And then someone that was actually there, the one that's actually witnessed it, the other half of the half of that story that's listing him as that traitor, comes out and steps forward and kind of screws up things. That'd be interesting to see. because you're getting two sides of the story on that part.
Which seems to be the whole thing going through this campaign, is there's two sides to every story.
Yeah.
And in this case, I think it's there's the Oni side, the propaganda side, and then there's the truth.
Yeah. Well, history's always been written in the eye of the beholder.
I think you mean the eye of the victor.
Or eye of the victor, sorry. You know, it's, you know, even in our own history, there are things that have been colored to make it look better than it really was. There are things that even now people are digging into the stories that are, you know, have been staples in history books for years that they're finding that are untrue. So, you know, I can see where, you know, Oni's trying to write this history for the Spartans and Master Chief. They're trying to cover up the fact that they kidnapped six-year-olds. In the books, Perrin Goski has made reference to basically writing a report detailing everything she's done with the Spartans from their conception, including the kidnapping, the physical augmentations, the genetic augmentations, all this. So there are people in Oni that don't want this public. So I can see where they're trying to cover up as much of that as possible. And Ben, being a reporter, and from what I have gathered so far, you know, a good, relatively honest reporter, he's digging into this and finding that not everything that they're providing him with as far as information is true. And he's getting, he has his doubts about what this story is truly going to be about.
That goes back to the whole statement that he made at the beginning where he didn't know, or all the story that he's written about or he's reported on, he knew where they were going when he started them. And this is the only one where he didn't know where it was going and all the loose threads that were attached to this. So we're seeing inside the universe someone unraveling the mysteries that we know in the books, at least for now.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes me wonder where Dr. Halsey will pop in this, if she does.
I kind of find it hard to not include her in something like this.
That's what I'm saying. Because she... the UNSC was going to take her out. And then it just makes you wonder who was actually calling those shots. Was it the UNSC or was it Oni saying get rid of her because she knows too much? Because she's done all these things for the Spartan program.
Well, we had that answered in Halo 4.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it just makes me wonder, like, where Oni is with, like, her, like, if she's going to get maybe interviewed or if that even is the case.
Well, I don't think she's going to be interviewed because she's not in the UNSC's custody. She's right, with a rebel faction of the Covenant. And the only reason they tolerate Halsey is because she knows about the Forerunner artifact.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're not going to just parade her up in front of a reporter and say, here, go ahead, have a little talk.
But we don't know exactly where, like, what happened with her. I mean, I'm sure it's explained in the comic books, and I'm just starting to get into those.
It's in there.
It is. I'll try not to spoil it for you. Yes, I have read them.
I mean, if there's something that pertains to this, I don't mind you spoiling it.
Halsey is alive and well.
Do you mind?
Go for it.
And the last podcast I was on, I already mentioned this. They have both halves of the Janus Key currently in the universe, okay? So they're off looking for some Forerunner artifact somewhere. They haven't indicated what that was yet. Well, they have, but I won't tell you. Anyway, so I, you know, as far as in this storyline that Ben's doing, Halsey, I do believe Halsey will show up in it, but I don't think she's going to take, you know, make like a personal appearance as far as an interview in it. I mean, her name or her records or maybe even her diary may show up in it or pieces of it.
That's interesting.
You know, somewhere he's going to get a hold of, you know, some pages of her diary or something like that. They're going to work that in there somewhere if Halsey makes an appearance or, well, is mentioned in this series. So, and that's going to probably be, you know, several episodes down the road because, you know, there's a little bit to do to get, you know, to that point. So it would be very interesting if he does get her in there, if that's what happens. But I just don't see her. I just don't see him doing an interview with her.
I don't think an interview, but I feel that she will be referenced at some point in this investigation. I think it's hard to do a background story on Chief without somehow including Dr. Halsey.
Well, she played such a huge part in his life in the beginning.
Well, think about all the stuff that Oni has been pushing in terms of the journalistic agenda they have. John, and this actually kind of plays into another character that got introduced in the podcast, Vice Admiral Gabriella Dvorak.
Mm-hmm.
And she went through the whole thing of how after they went and freed everyone from the rebel camps, from the insurrectionists, how John was one of the people that stood out to her. And after going through all the hardship of the rebel camps and everything, he wanted to not be a victim anymore, enlist and actually do something that would make a difference. That whole story plays in line, I guess, to something where Halsey is a part of it, but they could play that story to where he got out, he wanted to do this on his own, and then there was the Spartan program. That was it. Whereas in the true story, we know Halsey plays a key part in specifically choosing John and getting him into the Spartan program because it was highly selective. And I don't know if that's going to play out in this or not, because that almost introduces a third thread in a way. And I think that kind of plays onto the fact that there are so many loose threads, so many cracks in the story that it's just going to explode in Ben's face.
The thing is, I don't feel you can, within this time period, you can't fill in all those gaps and you can't make a full story. It's impossible. So it just makes me wonder what conclusion he will get without these unsolved mysteries that he did find. Like, like you said, there's too many loose threads for this.
Well, a little bit with the Admiral, that is exactly what I was getting out of it. Oni's pushing this that, okay, yeah, John is the Master Chief, but he volunteered to do it. You know, because they state right there, you know, in the law or in the podcast that he was going to sign up when he was of the right age, he was going to sign up to be in the military and pursue a military career. So, you know, it's not that much of a stretch to say, well, he heard about the Spartan program and he volunteered for it.
Right.
Again, going back to the fact that they're trying to cover up that they kidnap 6-year-olds.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, it doesn't seem like they're that far from actually doing that. And that's kind of the way it looks like they're pushing it.
Yeah. I mean, that's just another thing that kind of makes Oni out to be this huge, I don't even know a word for him, this horrible organization. It's like they go and kidnap all these 6-year-olds just so they can do tests on them to see where things go. It's like Oni's extremely sketchy. And the fact that they're Oni. Hiding, well, right, but I'm just
upset.
But there's always, I don't know, like it just doesn't make any sense why they would bring out something like this. I hope Benjamin runs into somebody that counterproducts what Oni's trying to do. I really do.
Well, he's already starting to hit those stumbling blocks with Ellie Bloom and Katrina, and that's kind of the start of the breadcrumb, so to speak. It's going to be whether or not he follows those leads and where those leads take him, because the Ellie interview was, and he admitted it was a lucky grab that he was able to find her.
Mm-hmm.
But for following that thread, where do you go from there? It's hard to really think of if you have the death record and then you have this firsthand testimony from Katrina saying that John died at the age of 6 and she remembers in specific detail of things that were going on while John was there, while she was there, then what's really the next clue?
I don't know.
See, that's the fun part of this. What is going to be the next clue? It's just,
it has you gripping. Mm-hmm. After until the next week. Like, and I think that's the reason why I love this so much, is because not only do we get these audio logs, we get these little pictures that pop up with the audio logs themselves, and I want more. I always want more and more and more. So you have to wait till the next week to hear it.
Yeah.
But I love a lot of people are like, this is really how they're going to be leading up to Halo 5, or at least to E3, till we see something big on Halo 5, story-wise. And I'm like, this is the perfect way to do it. You know, people are saying, well, they should have like maybe a YouTube video or something of that sort. But I like it like this, because I like to listen more than I like to watch, if that makes any sense. When I listen to the audio logs or whatever, I listen for different things that may be in the background that are hidden, like maybe little voices that no one ever picks up on or things of that nature, which a lot of people say visual, that would be more simpler. But I like to find things like maybe little hinted Easter eggs or something of that sort.
Right. It's coming. I feel it coming. We just got to wait and see. There's another thing in here at the very end. I think we covered most of what was said in here kind of briefly. I think the fact that we know that John died at the age of 6 and his life story kind of makes a lot of the podcast a moot point right now. So apologies if this is something that doesn't sound like we're going into too much depth. But if you look at the very end, another thing that was pointed out by Katrina is John's parents were alive past when Oni said that they died. 4 years, in fact, at least. So there's already this trail that Ben's starting to get conflicting views on. And it's hard to really pass up someone when they have vivid details and lots of things that really go against what all the nice, easy setups have telling you.
Well, it's hard. Like you can't deny someone saying that, like, oh, well, no, those people were dead. Like, John's parents were dead. Well, they have explanation for those 4 years that they weren't dead. You know, where they went or all these different things. So it's going to make it harder for Ben, because he's getting one answer from one side, and then all these leads that are giving him all this information make second guessing himself. Why is it that they don't want me to find out those 4 years? So he's going to dig even deeper to find out even more, which is interesting. Once again, interesting is popping up too much, but I like this. I like this a lot, the way they're doing this.
Yeah, definitely. I like the mystery aspect of all this. And, you know, we're going to find out a lot of things about the Oni propaganda machine, and we'll probably find out some stuff about Chief. Are they going to give away the plot to Halo 5? No. As much as I'd love them to give me a piece of it, which, I mean, they'll probably give us a small piece, but when the campaign actually hits, it's going to blow your mind as to what is actually going on.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason that Chief is being tagged as a trailer, you know, this is
their
just to get traitor. Yeah, a trailer.
Sorry, I couldn't pass that one up.
He's got a big backpack, okay?
Got a big backpack.
He carries Hoss. Anyway.
Burn. Anyway.
That was for you, Bio. Anyway. Mm. You know, they're going to... Lost the train of thought. They're not going to show you the reason why he's a traitor. They're going to hint at it. And it'll be up to us to figure out what it is. But we're not going to know the actual truth to the story until the game releases, which really makes me wish it was October already, but
I think, and the thing that really, the reason why I like this so much too, is because during Halo 4, there was no mystery to what, you know, the only thing is, it's like, what is Chief going to do after all this stuff that happened with 3? That was only it. The fact that they have a story that's going to be gripped, like having people's attention more than like what they did with Halo 4. I really wish they would have done with 5. You know, having these tiny driplets of information that want more. You know, having these people that are going to analyze a trailer for hours on end to find every little detail that they can find to have an explanation for certain things that will tie in with maybe an interview some way down the line of Benjamin Gerard or Giroux. How do you even say it? I hear people say it both ways.
Giroux.
Okay. But they're doing it kind of like what Bungie did with these.
Which is why I like it.
Yeah. And I don't know. I want more. I want so much more. And I like Godzilla said, I wish it was October. Actually, I wish it was E3. I really do. I wish it was around E3. And it's getting close because we got to have some sort of explanation of what's going on during E3. They can't keep it a secret for that long. And having...
Well, this is supposed to be done by E3.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So yeah. They have to have some sort of explanation to like what is going on. They're not going to leave all this stuff going up to E3 and not say anything. Like I can't wait for that date to get a quarter of what the story actually is, an explanation.
Yeah.
I hate to disappoint you, but they're going to leave you hanging on something.
Well, no, I understand that. They're not going to give me the full game like that. That's to be expected. If they did do it, that's defeating the whole purpose of getting everything hyped.
I think there's parts of this, not only the story of the game, but I think there's going to be some other pieces of this little, this little storyline that we won't get answered until a lot closer to the game.
Yeah. And another thing that really has me interested, because I've said this a couple of times, but I'm always interested in the story within a story. I wonder what terminals we're going to be seeing.
They're in game.
Yeah, that would be nice. It just makes me wonder, because I like the Halo 4's little cutscenes from the terminals. I like that. I like the fact that they showed what the humans were trying to do that got the Diadak so pissed off that he couldn't see the reason why. So he basically did all the crazy stuff that he did. But like they did explain that in there, but once again, people aren't wanting to go. Unless it's in-game and you're seeing it up front, people don't want to do the extra work for more story. Which, to me, it's worth it because you're getting more information out of what you already know. That makes it better. It gives it more detail that could lead up to something down the line.
I think we'll get a lot of info at E3. I think we're going to get a big lead up here, and then we're going to get a explosion of info after E3. I hope so, at least.
And E3. I'm so hyped for it, too.
You see all these people that are like, E3 needs to come faster and faster, faster. It's like, it needs to come faster, but I also don't want it to because I don't want the hype to go away. The fact that everybody's getting extremely excited for Halo 5 story-wise is an awesome feeling. But the Halo community's needed this ever since Halo 4. Like, we've gotten, so not necessarily depressed, but like, there wasn't any sort of anticipation with Halo 4, which I really
not as much. No, right. I know what you're getting at. And yeah, there, the lead up to Halo 4, and this kind of goes back to how Bungie used to tease their games, because there was the I Love Bees thing for Halo 2, which I still haven't listened to yet, Laird. So if you're listening to this after we post it, haven't listened to it yet. And then there was the ARG for Halo 3 that they did, and I don't think they did one for Reach.
No, it's interesting that you say I Love Bees, because didn't this all start with Larry Herb saying I love bees? And then like that next day, like we got some sort of information about Halo 5, some sort of image or something. So it's interesting that everything is going back to Halo 2. Like I've said it over and over and over again, but they're always going back to Halo 2. And they had the Halo 2 anniversary cutscenes with Locke and Arbiter, which was interesting. And then you have all these different things. So it makes me wonder, what are we going to get from Halo 2 that we wouldn't get with any other game? Like, why not Halo 3 or Halo 1 or something like that? Why always 2?
Well, I think it's probably part of the reason. In Halo 2 is where we first started to see the dual stories play out. And I think that's why they started at Halo 2 and they didn't start at CE, because CE was really a cut and dry story.
They
escaped Reach. They find the ring. He kills the Covenant. He kills the Flood, and he escapes. Okay, there was no alternate twist to the story in Halo CE. Where in Halo 2, we saw the Arbiter and the Chief come. You saw them start to turn, and I don't mean turn in a bad way. I mean the Chief started to see that the elites, or at least the Arbiter, as an ally. And granted, that kind of fades into Halo 3 too, but it starts in Halo 2. The Arbiter starts seeing that the humans are the ally. And I'm not talking about that just in general, but you get that story twist. I don't know if that actually makes any sense, but...
Does that really play into the Chief's story? Because we're basically looking at how Chief has become this person that Oni no longer likes. And I can agree with how Halo 2 is kind of the start of all this change, but that, to me, is more of the involvement with humanity and Forerunner.
True.
It just...
But, you know, we've already seen in the Halo, the revamped Halo 2 cutscenes, that the Arbiter's there in current time. So
do you think the Arbiter has something to do with it? With Chief being a traitor?
I think he does have... Well, I don't know if he has a part in that, but he does definitely have a part in the story.
It just makes me wonder if we're going to see what Chief is turning on towards the Forerunners than human. Like, the Arbiter has been with the Covenant and Prophets and all these things, and you're seeing all these lies. You're seeing all these different things that the Prophets are doing, and he understands to decide with the humans to, you know, because he sees all these things happening in Halo 2. It just makes me wonder if there's some sort of secret with the human race that he may be seeing, like through, like maybe for some stupid reason he met up with Halsey and they find something with the military, like the UNSC or Oni or something like that, that Oni is trying to cover up, like a major something. I don't know what it could be, but it'd be interesting to see if that's how the connection with Halo 2 would be, if that makes any sense.
Well, I think a lot of that really hinges on Chief's understanding of the Forerunners putting humanity in the position to retake the mainline. I think this comes back to the Forerunners and what Halsey's been pursuing her entire life, and then what the Librarian kind of told Chief and what Cortana told Chief of the Forerunners. So I think he's still kind of going off of that premise that humanity is destined for something greater.
And
who knows what the Librarian did to him.
That's what I was just going to say. It still makes me wonder what she actually did do to him. You know,
I'm thinking she unlocked past memories. And maybe Chief? Not his on Chief, not necessarily his memories, just past
implanted memories. Right.
Yeah, implanted memories. So, and you know, she may have rigged it, you know, like a time release deal, because you know, you don't want to have to deal with all that while you're trying to fight the Didact. But still, you know, when she activated his gene song to where he could resist the composer, then yeah, I know she did. It did more than just that. I think that it activated memories in Chief that are there to guide him to help humanity assume the mantle.
So if we go back to the Greg Bearer trilogy, we see that Riser and Chakas had the Gaiash in there from two human military leaders, one of them being the Lord of Admirals. So It could be something similar along those lines, where it's been passed down genetically over years, specifically Chief's genetic trail, and the Librarian activates that Gaiash somehow. Or that's what she did, and then doing some other things to make him immune to the composer.
It just, there's so much that, like, there's so many loose ends from Halo 4. Really is. Like,
what actually has got me curious is, you know, if she did unlock memories, who's to say they're human memories?
Yeah, well, it's interesting that you say that. It's like, Cortana in some way is going to make a return. It could be, let it be, I don't know, like herself as a fragment that is regenerated through Forerunner tech. It could be, I don't know. But I have a feeling somewhere along the lines, Cortana has some sort of information to unlock something that the Librarian did something with her too, because she disappeared within that time frame, and she's an AI. She can be a little bit more transfer friendly than what a human is. You can't really exactly inject a human with images, data, and all that other stuff. But it just makes me wonder what Cortana knows or knew with the Librarian, like what she did with her.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see if Cortana is part of the plan, as far as, you know, the layout for the game. Or are we going to do another you know, something like Halo 3, where, you know, we're not necessarily dealing directly with Cortana, but maybe her memory.
I'm still calling it that the librarian made a backup copy of Cortana.
Oh, it's entirely possible. You know, with their knowledge of slipspace and with their AI. Knowledge of AIs,
yeah.
She could have sent a copy of Cortana across the galaxy just, you know, instantly.
Yeah, but it just makes me wonder to where, though. Like, where would...
Anything that's on the Janus Key.
Yeah, pretty much.
The Janus Key shows the location of every single Halo or every single Forerunner installation.
Hmm.
And what's that library they were mentioning?
Wait, what? Say it again?
The Absolute Record, where the Forerunners have supposedly stored every single piece of information they've ever come across.
Right. It's just mind-blowing that the Forerunners had all this information. And with all this information, they...
They still got wiped out.
Yeah. Like, it just...
Well, the technology is what... The way it plays out, the technology is what killed them. Their dependence on technology, their advancement is what enabled the Flood to assimilate them so quickly. Because the Flood were able to infect their machines as well. Hence, Mendicant Bias.
Yeah.
And they were not equipped to deal with that kind of an attack. They were equipped to deal with a physical attack, like their war between, you know, their war between the humans. They were capable of doing that. And then they were also weakened by their long war with the humans. So they were still, you know, they were basically still in the rebuilding process. And the way the Flood worked, they just overran the Forerunner worlds faster than they could react.
Well, I mean, that's something else that really makes me wonder, too, is, like, what else did the librarian hide before she died? Ooh, like, it just makes me wonder. It's like, what other, like, maybe she made another, what was the AI? It wasn't Mendicant Bias.
What was the one? Shockus?
It was the one that replaced him.
No, there isn't one that replaced
Guilty
him.
Guilty Spark?
Guilty Spark is Shockus. Or are you talking about the other bias?
I'm talking about the other bias.
Offensive bias?
Yeah, offensive bias was destroyed on the Greater Arc.
Oh, so he... Okay, never mind then. That completely defeats
He was just... If I remember correctly, he was destroyed defending the Greater Arc against Mendicant Bias.
Hmm. Okay.
Or it's possible he's escaped to the Lesser Arc. No, because that's where we were in Halo 3.
Yeah. Oh, man. The amount of information... It's crazy.
It's a lot. It's a lot to take in. I mean, we could talk about all this stuff for hours. And if people have been wanting a lore cast, I'm telling you, this Hunt the Truth stuff, we're going to be getting really lore heavy for the next 3 months.
Yeah, I'm going to have to start studying up on my stuff again.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to finish New Blood this week and then get on board with finishing off Broken Circle. And then finish the last Karen Travis book.
What Grimm needs to do is just write a giant book that's like a bazillion pages long. That way I can like read it, or an audio log or audio book or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be an audio book that is. Let's see, the average audio book is about 11 hours. So that one would be about 460,000 hours.
Yeah, something of that sort. That's crazy. But I mean, like, it's just...
I think Grimm would probably be dead by the time he finished that. Like, literally just old. If you wrote that much.
Oh, man.
There's the encyclopedia.
True.
It's true. I need to get that.
But, you know, don't get me wrong. The encyclopedia is neat, and, you know, the Halo Wiki's neat and everything. But it's always more fun when you get it in a story.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean... You know, the wiki and the encyclopedia are great for looking up stuff that you want to know the answer to if you're looking for a specific answer. But, you know, the lore, the thing that drives me to the lore of Halo is it's so much fun to listen to or read in a story format.
Listen to? Definitely listen to.
I cannot. I've said this time and time again. I cannot do audiobooks. I just can't.
Well, you know, it just depends. The thing with me is that, you know, I don't have a super long drive to work, but it's about 20 to 30 minutes. And I have, over the past 20 years, I have gotten so fed up with broadcast radio. I get tired of the DJs. I find a DJ that I like, and then all of a sudden they're gone and some other guy's in there. They play the same music over and over and over and over and over and over again. So I started listening to the audiobooks as something different than the, you know, broadcast radio. And it makes my drive to work so much nicer because I don't have to, you know, I don't have some jerk yelling in his microphone at me, you know, to wake up and get my coffee. I'm like, I'm already there, guy. Just play music that I want to hear. But, you know, it gets me, it's something that I can do and still pay attention to what I'm doing, which is driving the car. But I still have something enjoyable to listen to. And the funny thing is I've actually sucked my wife into it. Whenever we go on a trip, I throw on an audiobook where, you know, before we'd go on a trip, you know, you get out in Western Kansas, try to find a radio station out there.
No.
Good luck.
I mean, that's where I live now. It's like only certain, the only station I get where I live is the like opera singing station. Like whatever that is, like they have like
this, classical music thing, or
yeah, like that, like they have that. They have like plays and stuff like that during the holidays. Like that's the only radio station I get in my truck. Like until I hit a certain spot, and then I get all of them. But that's annoying. So going back to what you're saying, GT, I hate morning radio, like where like they have the morning shows. Because it's usually like they have all those, and it's they talk about current events that you already know about and you can care less about. Like, I don't know. There's a list you can choose from. So I'd rather have something that I'd rather be entertained and want to learn about than Justin Bieber drag racing in Miami.
Yeah. Definitely.
That sounds like your own set of problems.
But sure. You know, the point I'm making is that the consumption of the Halo lore in an audio form works very well for me because of my driving situation. I do read, you know, some of the lore, you know, like the stuff on the Hunt the Truth website or on, you know, Halo Waypoint. But, you know, reading is not my strong suit. If I sit down and read a book, you know, with a Halo book, I'm a lot better at it because I'm more involved in it. You know, I can read it for, you know, 20, 30 minutes, you know, sometimes an hour before I'll like pass out because I'll fall asleep.
That could be a problem.
Yeah. Especially when you're driving down the road. The cops don't like it when you're turning pages. But anyway, you know, it's just, and it's not that I'm not, it's not that I'm not interested in the story. It's just the act of reading makes me tired.
It's boring. In some cases, well,
I mean, it depends on where you are, though. You know, my imagination is fired up while I'm reading this, but it's still the, you know, just the act of reading the words, it's tiring to me.
Well, I mean, that's the reason why I do both. Like, and Dust Storm's commented on this before, and he says I'm absolutely crazy, but I read the book and listen to it at the same time, and it makes a better experience. Like, it does. Like, it's like when I was, when I was hitting at RTX, one of the things that I did was I plugged in, what book was it? It was Cryptum. I finished Cryptum during RTX. I had the book and I was reading it on the plane. It makes it easier to read because you're hearing what you're reading, if that makes any sense. Like, yeah, it could be completely me being myself, unusual, but,
okay.
Put it nicely.
But no, I found it more entertaining that way because you're hearing all these voices that you would have to imagine your mind doing, which, you know, that's the creative part, but you're hearing it from two different sides. So I like doing that. Like, I found it more entertaining that way.
Well, it's like on the Greg Bear books on Primordium, the last book.
Silentium?
Silentium.
Yeah, it's the one where, no, I guess it is the second book.
It's Cryptum, yeah, because, Primordium, and Silentium.
Yeah, it's the one where they're still talking about Shockus and Riser. And they're getting the records from the monitor.
Yeah, that was the last one.
Yeah, if I hadn't been listening to the audiobook, I probably would have had to go through that chapter three or four times before it dawned on me that they were talking to 343 Guilty Spark. But yeah. When I heard him just slowly transition into that voice, I'm like, Shockus is 343 Guilty Spark. You know, and I immediately made the connection. Even before he made it completely in there and actually said, I am 343 Guilty Spark, you know, I'm like, oh, this is so cool. So, you know, I love the twists and turns the Halo universe always puts in there. And I'm glad to see that 343 Industries is trying to follow what Bungie started and, you know, whetting our appetite with this kind of stuff. I just hope they put, you know, more of this kind of stuff in the game, you know, more Easter eggs, more hidden stuff, you know, the hidden music, like, you know, now it's an achievement. You go find the hidden music, but, you know, more stuff like that because it makes the whole universe, you get more invested in it when you have this stuff there. So, you know, this Hunt the Truth stuff, I can't wait for the next episode to come out. I'm just chomping at the bit to listen to it.
As am I. So I think that covers most of it tonight. Any other comments before we wrap this show up?
Not that I can think of.
All right.
No, I'm good. I think we covered all of it.
Yeah, I think we're good.
So until next week, which I'm sure we'll have even more tangents on something lore related to the books or whatever has gone on before. So we'll save that
That's
for
a tangent.
Oh yeah. It you know, it's a thing.
What's a tangent?
We go on tangents?
Yes, they just don't seem like tangents because we do them all the time. We've gotten used to them.
I thought they were well-rounded conversations.
It's supportive conversations. It supports Halo talk, so I think it's true. I think they're good nonetheless.
It generates conversation.
Exactly. So that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will be back next week with more Hunt the Truth info. So episode 3 will be out. We'll be discussing it and everything. Make sure you check out our social networks, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We have another Achieving Halo video coming out very, very soon. I have received said package from Godzilla T, and we'll be uploading it here soon. We also have a screenshot thing that we're doing every week. I think I mentioned it once before, but in case you guys missed it, we're trying to do a weekly post of community screenshots. So if you guys go into Halo and have a awesome film, or if you are gifted like Receptor 17 and can go and forge and create cool stages for screenshots, then we want to see them. So hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, or head on over to our forums and post them there, and we'd be happy to go through them and post them on our homepage for you guys. And that's something that we kind of miss from the Halo Bulletin. So we're trying to pick it up and slowly trying to start it back up. So if you have any screenshots or know people that take screenshots, please send them our way. You can also check us out for our game nights, which are on Friday nights. This last Friday, we played Halo 3 ODST, which was a lot of fun. Firefight is a great thing. It's just, it sucked that on Halo 3 ODST, the network was so bad. So bad.
Yes. Lag Matrix. City.
But we still had fun.
Oh, I had a blast.
It was. Yeah, I mean, I miss them. I miss the Firefight.
Yeah, it sucks that they're not bringing it to the Master Chief Collection with the whole ODST thing. But,
nah.
It is what it is. At least we're getting the campaign. I don't know why it's different, because I heard that the Firefight code was actually not that different from the campaign code, so maybe that'll be an added bonus that they might throw in there. But we'll see. You can check out the podcast network if you guys are interested in checking out some other good gaming podcasts. There are Guardian Radio, Critcast, Work in Progress, How to Murder Time, and The Learning Cliff, which all of those are great podcasts to listen to, at least for the ones I've listened to. I haven't listened to The Learning Cliff yet. I need to, because they've been on the network for at least 3 weeks now, so I should probably get on that. So make sure you check out that network. You can find it at thepodcast.com, which is thepodcast.com. And I think that'll be it for us tonight. Make sure you send us submissions for any of the stuff that we're talking about, whether it be Hunt the Truth, whether it be more info coming out about Halo 5 or anything Halo-related, community websites, Machinima, anything Halo related, let us know. And you can do that by shooting us an email to submissions@podtechalert.com or call our listener voicemail at 240-200-HALO. That's 240-200-4256, and leave a Halo related message. About 90 seconds long, 2 minutes max would be preferred. So until next week, everybody. Dang it, I said keep on fragging the truth last week. Dang it, I don't have a...
Keep on fragging conspiracies.
There you go. Thank you, bye.
There you go.